the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show with Blake Matheson and Eric Updike, covering hunting, fishing, and all things outdoors in eastern Montana and western North Dakota.
Yeah, great outdoors.
We'll bring on guests occasionally.
We're ready to learn to get some knowledge.
You can find episodes every other Friday on RadioBaker.com underneath podcasts. The Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show.
Check it out!
Welcome to the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show. I'm your host, Blake Matheson, and along with me, of course, our co-host,
Eric Updike.
And what episode is your guest that we're on?
I'm going to go with 34.
Yo, a little too low on that one. We are 38 tonight, my
47.
Friend.
47, that's my next option.
Yeah, between the two, you would have made it. So episode 38, and I'm kind of down bad. I feel like this is like... This episode, I think, marks the least outdoor stuff I have been doing in the entirety of us recording this show.
Yeah, it is kind of that awkward time of the year, though.
That's the easy way out. Yeah, I'm a big grouse hunter, and that's not been going my way at all. I'm really singing the blues. I have now made 3 grouse/partridge hunting trips and been blanked on every one. The last 2, I haven't even seen a shootable bird. I've seen some ducks, which are not in season until the 4th in our zone of the central flyway. I've been struggling. And this last Sunday, I took the dog out, and I really thought I was in the money. I went to a spot that was right next to a cornfield with standing corn on it, and there was water on the other side, of this parcel of land I hunted, and I didn't see a single shootable bird. So, I've been struggling a bit. And on top of that, not only have I been blanking on the birds, but now my hunting buddy, my dog, just had to go to the vet for an ear infection.
Oh, that ain't good. That's the bad part with labs. They're kind of prone to those ear infections.
And I think the weird thing about it, I didn't take him because I had to work. My wife took him, but apparently the vet didn't call it an actual ear infection. They apparently called it a yeast infection instead of an ear infection, which I was like, hey, Jeb, we got to talk about your extracurricular activities if that's the case.
But do you ever get yeast infections?
Luckily, no. I've never done that. But he's on the medication now and should be getting better.
Well, that's good.
But should be getting him out soon. Now we've got some cool weather in here. That's kind of what I'm laying my hopes on, is this cold front coming in, pushing some stuff around.
Well, Blake, just to try to make you feel better, that is why they call it hunting and not killing.
Yeah. Bad day fishing is better than a good day at work.
Ain't that the truth?
So, speaking of fishing, you know, I do have the itch rising up again on me here. I scratched the itch of Fort Peck about a month ago or so, a couple months ago now, I suppose. I went up and caught the lake trout, but now I'm getting the Fort Peck itch again here because salmon snagging for them Chinook salmon up there in Fort Peck opens up on the 1st of this month, and I just read a Fort Peck Marina report today that said those Chinook salmon are moving up shallower, and people are catching them on spoons and crankbaits from shore at Fort Peck. And I tell you what, catching a big old Chinook salmon, I mean, I'd snag them for sure, but catching one in the mouth with a big old spoon or a crankbait, oh, I'm big in.
That'd be a riot for sure.
And so at this time of year at Fort Peck, like if I'm dragging my boat up there, you're going shallow. You've got them lake trout moving shallow, the salmon moving shallow. You can go target smallmouth still while they're putting the feed bag on before it gets real cold. And you can also get pike up in the shallows right now. So that's kind of, I did check the weather forecast today for Fort Peck for this weekend. I'm batching it at my house this weekend. And so I checked the weather forecast to see if I could maybe sneak on up there. And a little too windy for me this weekend, I think.
Well, dang it anyway. I got to work anyway.
Yeah, you on this new work schedule has also been messing us up.
7 days on, 7 days off.
No, it's what you used to have. That's not what you do no more.
I know. Seven on, seven on.
What the hell are you talking about?
No.
What do you have? 4 days off? Isn't that what you get
now?
Yeah,
4 days off is going to put a hinkering on my hunting plans this year, but we'll make it do.
Yeah, and you're putting all them drag marks in so many undies, you got to do a lot of laundry in them 4 days.
I know.
So that's been a damper's been on at least doing outdoor stuff together. A damper's been put on us.
It has been, but it'll get better.
Antelope coming up here. So it is. You know what I've decided I'm afraid of for antelope season?
Shooting Bambi?
Well, that, but... So, like, with deer season getting out, and I can tell myself, I'm just going to find a large patch of public land that I can just walk forever out into and get past what we call the fatty filter. You walk far enough that you're getting out of a certain crowd of hunters. And that kind of gives me a little bit of comfort. Like, I'm like, okay, at least I'm aiding my case on a deer hunt by a hike. But I feel like, and maybe I'm way off base, but I just feel like, especially out in this part of the world, antelope's kind of one of them deals where you're driving around a lot. And I'm just not a driving around and glassing type of guy.
I agree with you, but it pretty much is that way, unfortunately. It's like, why go out and walk in a big open field that you can see
exactly
across?
Yeah.
They're not going to be down in the draws, and I'm with you on that.
They're not going to be up in the timber.
Yeah. No, it is, and it is discouraging that way, but...
And I don't have anybody with a nice plot of private land that's been watching a group of antelope mull about for a while. So I don't know. I don't really know what to expect. I have really low expectations, actually.
You know, I'm kind of in them shoes myself. So I'm with you there. We might have to go on some adventures. Maybe we'll even do a little camp out and you can cook breakfast for me and the whole bit.
Man, yeah. We keep mentioning that C word, the old camping.
Yeah, I know.
Don't know how
you stood me up on the camping trip for paddle fishing. So you kind of owe it to me.
Yeah, that was another thing. Our schedules for paddlefish this last season just jacked us both up again.
I maybe need to
look open the host search up again for somebody that's got their cycles a little more matched up.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, you never hang out with me, so our cycles are never going to line up. You know what they say, the more you hang out, your cycles get entwined with each other.
So, yeah.
I think that's what they say. Anyway.
Yeah, I guess.
Maybe that's something else. Nice. I don't know.
And I don't know. And I think also my drive to go after duck this year is also at an all-time low, because after being out here for two seasons now, it's just buying the old duck stamp to puddle jump ducks two or three times and then have everything freeze over. I just am questioning whether it's worth it. I could have gotten a good handful of ducks this last Sunday if they'd been in season when I last took the old dog out on a bird hunt. I did find the ducks, and we could have very easily gotten close to a limit of those.
But well, we need to try it this year.
It's a lot of walking, and that's the kicker. The spots that I have for ducks right now to jump off of, boy, you're walking a good mile and a half in waders just to maybe hopefully shoot three or four ducks.
So when it comes to duck, I know you like duck sausage, but how else do you like duck?
Yeah, are we talking purely like cooking it now? You're just
we're talking about cooking.
I know you just really wanted to get that one in there.
Yeah, but, the duck sausage.
No, pan fry that stuff. That's the best pan fried bird. You take a little bacon fat and you just slap them breasts and just sear them on the sides. And I'll preach again and again. I'll preach until I'm blue in the face that if you're saying you don't like duck, it's too livery tasting or it's got too much iron taste, you're overcooking it. Medium rare is the most a duck breast can be pan fried. And if you can't handle medium rare to rare meat, sorry, my friend, eating duck is not for you. Ooh. That's the true facts. Unless you're doing it fancy, like, I don't know, if you got somebody making some, what is that, pecking or peking duck? My father-in-law, really big pecking duck guy. They make that for you at Asian restaurants. But I watched a video of that the other day. They're glazing that, and you got to pluck them. I'm not a plucking guy. Nah. I take that breast straight out. Maybe if the skin's on it, that's a plus. But I'm just not a feather plucker. So,
I gotcha.
So all the ways that I prepare a duck breast, got to be medium rare.
Yeah, I'd be worth a shot. But, you know, good part, though, you know, we're recording this October 1st. So, you know, this month is the big opener for the big ones.
Yeah, the old duck season opens on the 4th here in our central flyway zone 1. And pheasant coming up here soon. Do you know that day off the top of your noggin?
I want to say the 12th, but I'm pretty sure I'm probably wrong.
No, I think you're right. I'm pretty sure you're right. And like I mentioned, salmon snagging October 1st up there at Fort Peck. So
I'm in hunting mode. Fishing mode is over. But
have you ever snagged salmon? Sorry, I know we're trying to jump to hunting, but just out of curiosity.
Nope, I have not. You never invite me.
Oh, I've only ever done kokanee. Oh, we've got a phone. What kind of Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show recording etiquette is this? Got a phone going off. Who's this? Who's this giving you a shout here? Oh, this is a Pheasants Forever fella here. We better pause and answer this.
Hello?
Yeah, you didn't know that being acting president of the Pheasants Forever chapter tonight would lead to being a Facebook instructor, did you?
I'm not acting president. Just filling in, bud. Just the VP. I'm the J.D. Vance of Pheasants Forever here.
Hey, yeah, we had the old Pheasants Forever meeting tonight. Shout out to the five of us that showed up to that meeting. But all right, so now that your phone calls are out of the way, are you going to get any more of those?
I hope not.
Oh, better at least put it on silent. God, I got the... You know, you have a cool ringtone. Does anybody make their ringtone cool songs anymore?
Nah.
Sheesh. Yeah, I guess mine's not a song. But I did at least go into the settings and change it. So mine's not every jabron with a Verizon phone same ringtone.
Well, I'm old-fashioned.
I guess.
You're lucky I can even turn my phone on.
Whatever. You're my age. Did you have a Game Boy growing up, at least?
I did.
Yeah, I knew it. What kind of Game Boy did you have? You remember what that
no,
was?
No, I don't.
A Color, an Advance, what?
I don't remember.
Wow. Jeez. Yeah, you weren't much of a video gamer.
No, I wasn't. I was always more into the outdoor scene, Blake.
Oh, boy, how the tables have turned.
I know. I'm still not a gamer, though.
Okay. Well, you know, where the heck were we there before we were so
interrupted? Talking about duck hunting.
Oh, yeah, and I was saying the salmon snag. Oh, that's where we were. I was saying the salmon snagging season for Chinook at Fort Peck is opening on the 1st, and I was asking you if you've done any snagging, and you said no, and I would just get to tell you, yeah, I've only snagged kokanee down at Navajo Reservoir, which straddles the border of New Mexico and Colorado. But that's a fun time. You snag one of them in the tail, that's a good time, and then make a nice lunch of some nice open fire tinfoil roasted salmon right there on the bank. Shoo-hee.
That's too bad you got to drive through California to get there, though.
Yeah, basically little mountainous California, more mountainous California. Yeah. But I'd like to do the Chinook for sure.
So then we got big game season starting too, elk and deer. That'll be what? Is that the 18th or the 22nd?
I thought you weren't going after deer this year, or elk this year. I mean, sorry.
Well, I'm
me.
Not going to go to the mountains, but I still have high hopes for some good old local homegrown.
You're going to get you an Eastern Plains elk?
Well, ideally, but it doesn't hurt to have big dreams.
Yeah, I hold the tag too, I guess, on the old general elk season. But the hopes, definitely non-existent on that one. I'm just going to this one. Antelope's the main focus, and then deer again.
Yeah, I'm a dreamer. Still hoping.
But, you know, speaking of deer, I printed this out for us today. I'm a couple weeks behind on reading this to our audience here on the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show, but I think this is very worthy of reading, and maybe you have not read it yet. I bet you have, because you're a Facebook guy that keeps up with these posts, but I ripped this straight from the Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Region 7 Facebook page. You follow them?
I do.
I knew you did. Yeah, I bet you've seen this. So it might be a rerun for you, but I'm going to read this out. So here we go. It says, FWP wildlife biologists in Southeast Montana's Region 7, where we record the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show, have seen an increase this fall in epizootic hemorrhagic disease and blue tongue virus. So that's EHD and BTV. Reports are in white-tailed deer and antelope along the Yellowstone River corridor and out in prairie habitats. These cases are suspect so far, and they have not yet been confirmed through lab testing. EHD and BTV are hemorrhagic diseases that are caused by slightly different viruses but have very similar clinical signs. Both EHD and BTV are spread by tiny flies called midges. If you're a fly fisherman, you probably know that. Commonly called no-see-ums. Infections typically increase in late summer and fall during the warm, dry conditions when flies are most abundant and deer are often concentrated near water. Periods of outbreak usually end after a good hard frost. Deer and antelope with EHD or BTV typically die within 8 to 36 hours of showing symptoms. The disease is not spread between deer, and there is no known risk to humans. However, it is recommended that hunters not consume the meat of animals that appear to be sick. So if you're hunting white-tailed deer and antelope around the Yellowstone River out in our area this season, that might be a reason. If you're thinking you're seeing a lower numbers than usual, that might be why. Animals with EHD or BTV can appear weak, lethargic, and disoriented. They are often found near water sources due to high fever and may drool or foam at the mouth. They can exhibit swelling of the head, neck, tongue, and lips, as well as mouth sores. The tongue may appear blue. EHD and BTV are typically fatal. Some deer and antelope survive to develop immunity. So are you worried about that?
You know, it's something that crosses your mind every year, and, you know, especially with not just EHD and all that, but also with the CWD, you know, it does cross your mind, and it crosses my mind a lot every year. And I think probably the responsible thing to do is, if you shoot a deer, probably get it tested.
Yep. So you're talking like I didn't ever see a station in all my travels during the hunting season last year. Like back in my New Mexico days in college, we had to volunteer in my college program to help with CWD testing. And they had like tables set up on roads where there was a lot of hunter traffic. And out in our area, I've never seen that.
You know, for the North Dakota side, I know they have a station set up over in Rame at the gas station there at Senex. Baker, Baker, I don't think they have one. I know they have one down in Ekalak. I'm not exactly sure where they set it up, but I bet we know a guy that we could call and ask.
Yeah, get a hold of Oliver and ask that. I know for sure. I did see a post on that Region 7 Facebook page from this last week that said, at least for the archery season, if you want to voluntarily get your deer CWD tested, you got to take it into, you either take the whole carcass into the main office there in Miles City for Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, or they have instructions online where you can take the sample yourself and send it to them.
Yeah, take the lymph nodes.
Yep. So, yeah, something to keep in mind if you're going to be deer or antelope hunting in the area here, which we are. So, yeah, if the deer or antelope's doing something funky out there, just be aware of it and maybe report it. I mean,
absolutely.
Make sure you're letting people know if you see funky stuff out there, or if you see some randomly dead deer or antelope out around a water hole, probably something funky going on. But yeah, I think that's about all I've got going on. I'm hoping to make I think I have at least one more big lake trip in me this year. And we didn't get any catfishing in, which is a bummer too. This last week of 80 degree temperatures, which I think that this could be our last week of at least mid 80 degree highs and sunny weather. I think catfishing might be setting sail on us here.
I think so. But, you know, now's the time where you should probably be getting out and making sure the old rifle's sighted in good and getting ready for deer season. I don't know if you should be messing around fishing.
It's going to take me one 30-odd six bullet. Go out there.
Oh, you're one of those.
I'm going to ring the gong once. First trigger pull. Bam. Set to go, brother. What the heck? I haven't knocked it on anything since last season. It's just sat in the safe. I shot that deer last season, and then it sat in the safe ever since. Still dead on.
And you know, in theory, you should be all right and everything and not worry about it, you know, as long as you haven't changed your loads or anything like that, if you do hand loads. But for the most part, you should be all right. But I always like to go out and double check it just for fun, I guess, and be safe. But you're right, it should be fine.
Did you sharpen all your knives after last season? Or is that a preseason thing?
Oh, I did that last year already.
Yeah,
that's like a midwinter when you get the midwinter blues. Do that.
I think for me, that's once I'm done using them, as soon as I wash them, when I'm drying them, sharpen them before they get put away.
I do too.
That's my knife thing. Currently, what's killing me is my last batch of jerky I made in the dehydrator. I only used like three of the dehydrator trays, and they're still sitting exactly where I used them. That's my bad admission of this week. I've been really putting off giving my dehydrator trays a soak and getting them ready for the next round of jerky here. Yeah. Well, I mean, hopefully I'll have some. Currently, I only have a couple grouse breasts to be making, but hopefully, knock on wood, I'll be having some meat for jerky soon. I got to get the dehydrator all squared away here.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, I sure hope so. When you're doing your antelope, when you've gotten one, you grind. Didn't you tell me you turn that all into ground meat, right?
I saved the back straps, but for the most part, yeah, I ground it up, made sausage.
I don't think I've ever even tried antelope in my life.
Well, it's pretty good. Once. You know, you always hear the different things, you know, if they ran and whatnot, which is probably all true that they stink and everything else, but I guess the one I shot it and it fell over dead, and I got it on ice right away, and it tasted real good. I mean, it's not comparable to elk in my opinion, but, you know, it's equal or better than deer.
And see, that's one thing that scares me about saying, like, doing the old camping trip, going out for a couple days. Like, say somebody gets one right away, and then you're out with a dude or a couple dudes that want to fill a tag as well. Boy, I don't think I own a cooler big enough.
Yeah, but the thing with an antelope, they're small. Just a regular old 60-quart cooler will fit an antelope.
I don't know
if I have to quarter it.
I don't know if I have any that'll keep ice from the Senex here for a 2-day trip after day one. The night of day one, all my $25 cooler specials are down to water in them puppies.
Dang it, anyway.
What's going on with you over there? Checking your old phone still? You're a busy tonight. Man tonight?
Famous tonight.
Gosh, dang, you just got all kinds of folks blowing you
I up. I know.
Oh, man. All right. Well, before I let you go here, tell us what do you think is going to be your next, is it really going to be antelope hunting your next outdoor excursion, you think?
You know, I'm torn on it because antelope and pheasant openers the same day.
No, I don't think it's the same day. I think they're a couple days different. Here, look. I'm going to look right here. I've got it in my calendar. I saved it in my phone calendar. I got a little smart here. Well, shoot. I don't know if I did pheasant. Let's see. Boom. October 12th. Antelope start. What is pheasant start? Let's type that sucker into the old Google here. October 11th is pheasant, a day before antelope. Oh, boy. So you have one day of pheasant on Saturday, and then Sunday antelope starts.
Well, you know, that's positive, but it's still tough for me. I really like pheasant hunting, so I'm going to probably say that first weekend's probably going to be devoted to pheasant hunting.
But see, and I, in my argument, just play devil's advocate here. For me, the hardest weekend of the year to hunt pheasant on, opening weekend, because that's when everybody is around. Like, anybody that makes a trip is going to do it opening weekend.
And that's very true. Antelopes, same thing, though. Remember Sandstone?
Oh, yeah, there's a bunch of people out, for sure. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe
we would just compromise and you bring a shotgun and a rifle.
Hey, there you go. Yeah, I think that is kind of the kicker with pheasant season and when you're holding an antelope tag. My assumption is also that's a viable thing is, yeah, just carry them both of them so that if you roll up to the pheasant spot and there's some antelope kicking around nearby, well, you're just prepared.
That's right.
Because there's a lot of spots that I've been seeing out here, which I've hunted pheasant on, and there have definitely been antelope standing on them. So that's... Have you done that before?
Yeah. You just got to be somewhat careful, you know, if you got your dog, but...
Oh, that's another thing I didn't think of, because I'll have my dog every time I'm pheasant hunting. You're staying in the truck, doofus.
Yeah, stay in here. I'm going to go get an antelope. Pronghorn, sorry.
Pronghorn. But I will say, shout out to Eric Updike. I learned this tip from him on the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show. I've got my kiddie pool ready.
Hey, that is handy.
So, yeah, I won't be having to get the old borax and elbow grease out much this year if I'm successful in getting a big critter.
It's handy. Put the old pool underneath your deer or your antelope, let them drip into there, and there you go.
All right, so before I let you go this evening, now that I've asked you what your next outdoor excursion is going to be, likely going to be some upland bird hunting for some pheasants when the season opens, what is your, give me your things you your checklist of things you have to get done before antelope season starts. You got, so far we've got getting your rifle dialed in, making sure that's still ship shape, and what else you got on your checklist?
You know, that's basically it, and just getting the gear loaded, and that's about it. You know, I usually get the old game cart and leave that in the pickup for the most part, all hunting season, and that's about it. And then obviously get all your gear checklist, go through that, make sure you got everything you need, knives sharpened, and all your gear is in tip-top shape. I mean, with antelope hunting, generally you're not too far from the pickup, so that shouldn't be an issue. That's about it.
All right. Well, that's, I think, going to do it for our episode 38 here. I wish everybody success as we're getting into rifle seasons and the full swing of upland with pheasant getting open here and waterfowl seasons opened up if you're going for that. Hopefully, I still haven't decided. Maybe I'll be buying a duck stamp here soon. I don't know. Jury's out. I've got a couple days to decide here. I guess maybe we'll see how bored I get at work. Do you got anything else?
That's it.
All right. Well, here on episode 38 of the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show, I've been your host, Blake Matheson, and along with me, as always,
Eric Updike.
We'll catch you in another 2 weeks here. Good luck to everybody out there hitting the fields, and we'll see you in 2 weeks on the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show.